Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, welcoming you to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we highlight the movers and the shakers in our community who use their God-given talents to do none other than help remake the world into a better place for all people. Tonight we will have a special guest, Imam Shahid Abdullah. We'll be coming back on, so get your questions ready. We are rolling up to the day of the event, the Knowledge Collection here in the Queen City of Charlotte, North Carolina. This is an event that you don't want to miss. It's extraordinary, not ordinary. So first we'll start out with a Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. We are going to start out with Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alay, and inshallah, When that ends, we will go right into Imam Shahid Abdullah.
Allahu Akbar. We praise God and we witness that He is one and cares about all of us, all people, all nations, all the worlds. And we witness that the final revelation, the Quran, is revealed to Muhammad, and he's a messenger to all the people of earth, and he's a mercy to all people and a mercy to all the worlds. We appreciate this opportunity to address the radio audience and to be here on this first Sunday of the year and this first day of the year. And I wish all of you all a happy new year and a very prosperous new year. We hope that the year we are in now will be better than the year that just went out. And I believe it will be for all of us. We're addressing the need for reform. The future that we are facing is going to bring about more demand for reform, more support for reform. Reform for public education in the United States of America, but also reform for almost everything that we have been supported by. Everything almost that we have been supported by. This is a new world we're living in. It's a new time and a new world. The world was once having one-sidedness, just seeing one way, and was not respecting the whole people or the whole population of this planet Earth. It was moving very selfishly in the direction of what it wanted and ignoring justice. Before 1945, the world had no, quote, institution, end quote, or legal organization whereby a nation threatened by another nation could take its complaints and be heard. A Catholic peace-building movement publishes a magazine titled Living City. One of this featured article says, after 60 years, the United Nations will be facing a demand for more serious reform. Public education in the United States, the natural environment, respecting the natural environment for the good of the environment itself, but also to save human life on this planet, shrinking fuel supplies, poverty and starvation are all on the world scene and on the agenda of conscious nations. At home in our big and small cities, reform is becoming the more pressing issue. Feeling and perception also needs reforming. How we feel about things and how we perceive or understand things. Communities must support efforts to reform popular thinking and attitudes. Emotions are too high. Human intelligence will be approached in the future more directly. People will be demanded to use their brains more and respect intelligence and respect intelligent behavior. As the world tries to keep its old habit of dancing and singing troubles away, the world gets more messy. Morals become more confused, and human abuses more horrifying. Think of human bodies as a human body. Think of the human body that it is a vehicle, you know, like an automobile, a truck, or whatever, a motor vehicle. Think of the human body as a motor vehicle. Now, I know when I was young, I wanted to drive, long before I was of age to drive. I used to ride in the car with senior or older brothers in the temple who had cars. They called temple back then, the place of worship. And I'd sit there and I'd be imagining myself under the wheel. And my father, sometimes, occasionally, he would try to take us in his car, and I was there imagining myself under the wheel. I got the opportunity to drive a truck long before I was of age. This brother asked me, I was about 14 years old, he said, would you like to go with me and make some extra money? I said, yes. So I went with him. He had a nice truck, like maybe a two-ton truck. And that's the way I remember it. I think looking at it with my eyes now, I think it's probably about 2.5 ton maybe. And he was loaded, overloaded with what we call junk. And he would take the junk to the junkyard, and he would sell glass, he'd sell metal he'd pick up, and he would pick up a lot of paper and cardboard. He would sell that, and rags, old rags. And once we were driving along, I think it was 43rd Street, and he said, would you like to try it? I said, yes. So he pulled over and stopped, and I got under the wheel. And believe me, I drove well the first time under the wheel because I had been driving all the time, imagining myself in the driver's seat all the time. So it wasn't difficult. I just followed what I was observing. I did the same thing, and I had to get used to everything. But I even measured spaces, you know. While the other driver was driving, I would imagine the space he could get through and the spaces he could not get through. So I drove that truck, and seeing all these vehicles now on the road, and some of the people that's in them, they passed, they got their license, but really, they shouldn't be behind the wheel. Some of them look like they're trying to hit me, and I'm dodging them. It look like they're trying to follow me to hit me. I don't know. This is really a unconscious world. A world that's got a spirit controlling it. Most of the people are controlled by a spirit that's not intelligent. It's not the spirit that came from good parents. It's not the spirit that came from good teaching, education. No. It's not the spirit that comes from the individual's good thinking. It's another spirit. And that spirit is really causing us a lot. So we're going to have to reform our spirit. We have to reform our spirit, and we can reform our spirit. All you have to do is reform the way you think. Reform the way you think, and everything will change for the better. As the Bible says, and as the philosopher said before the Bible had it, a philosopher said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the Quran says, think, for surely thinking will profit you. Yes, think. And W.E.B. Du Bois says, our political leader, and well, really, he started the NAACP. He was the one to start what we call now the NAACP. He said, our people will progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. Think! I remember parents correcting us. Hey, you better use your head, you better think. Yeah, they would insist that we think. Behavior without thought is blind behavior. and a lot of good habit is acceptable, but crazy habit is not.
Right.
Imagine now, your car or a truck, a motor vehicle, and you're going down the street, flying down the street at the speed limit or above, you have no brakes. Your steering doesn't work. You grab the wheel and it doesn't work. It won't turn your left or right. No brakes and no steering. You wouldn't drive a vehicle like that. But many of us live like that. No brakes. No steering. In fact, when we see the danger, instead of turning left to get out of the way of it, we persist in just going headlong the same way. So we are having a spirit and a behavior that's reckless. At-risk behavior. Terribly at-risk behavior. We need to reform it. And we got to reform it. We don't have homes anymore, the majority of us, that represent intelligent guidance for us. And it's not because it's not wanted in those homes. It's because the world scene, and for most of us, I'm speaking of right now, in these towns and cities that I mentioned earlier, the world scene is a street scene. The behavior in the streets, the attitudes in the streets, the things that attract your attention, you who are in the streets, the songs you listen to, the music you like, the movies you like. And by the way, we need to reform our mind so that our minds will come up from being so low down.
Yes. Come on.
It's a shame that I can't find hardly a decent movie in some of these African American neighborhoods, some of the black neighborhoods. I can't find a decent movie. And I got really fed up, and I was getting a little angry. I said, I'm going to approach the management. And something told me, no, don't bother the management. The management is only showing what they will support.
That's it. That's a fact.
And I recall watching a nice movie on the weekend. Nice movie. Hardly nobody there watching it but me and my little son, my son, and maybe two or three other people. And I recall being alone, just with my son, and whoever was with us. Sometimes I have someone else with us. Now my wife is with us when we go, half the time that we go. She's not a habitual movie goer like we are. My son and I, we don't know anything to do when we get off of work. We say, oh, a movie. A restaurant and a movie.
That's it.
We were watching this movie and it come to my mind, ain't nobody here. And after it happened several times that we were watching a nice, great, class, high-class movie, nobody there but us, then it registered on my mind. Our people don't support movies like this. The average one in these African-American neighborhoods, they don't support class. They don't support culture. They don't support quality. All they want to see is violence and sex. Violence and sex. They get the big crowds, the movies, that have a lot of violence and a lot of sex. They get the big crowds. They're decent movies that will feed your mind and help you get your life straight or help you keep your life straight. Nobody wants to see those.
There it is.
So I've given up really appealing to those those people of minds like that, whether young or old, whether it's our youngsters, our teenagers, or old. My address to you on this day, and every day I speak, every first Sunday, a live broadcast, or the radio broadcast, my interest is reaching those who care about life, not those who have given up on it, those who care about life. Because they can't help themselves, and they can't help you. If they could help themselves, they wouldn't be in that condition.
That's it.
And if we could help them, they'd be here listening to us. They have no interest in what we are saying. They have no less interest in anything but what got them, what's holding them. Vulgarity, violence, love for vulgarity, and love for crime. Crime. It's a crime to treat yourself that way. It's a crime to treat your life the way you treat your life. And we want the conscious ones that are in our hearing range, in the radio audience and here at this facility, we want the conscious ones to register more the hurt on society, the hurt on human life. Think about it more and register it more. So you will do more about it.
Yes.
They can't help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, they're dead.
Right. Right.
Morally, they're dead.
Right.
So how can you raise the dead if they insist upon living in the graveyard? And the big cities, they make more and more room for you. If you want to live in the graveyard, they'll turn over some more land to you to increase the area for the dead. Oh, yeah. They ain't running out of no space when it comes to accommodating the dead. You want to die and go 6 feet under, they're ready for you. Got plenty of land, more. If your graveyard in your area is filling up, they got plenty of land available. They'll accommodate you. If you want to go down in the grave of moral decay, moral rot, we have to reform the behavior. We can save those who are conscious. If the best help that a conscious person needs and the help that helps them the most is just to know that there's somebody else conscious. And we want you out there in the radio audience that are conscious, still alive morally, still respect things of importance, still care about human life and human suffering. We want you to know that we are alive with you, and we want us all to be together. Let us be together, one spirit. God has made us one spirit, and God has made us one life. Human life and human spirit. And if you are in human life and like to remain human, you have human spirit.
That's right.
So we are one and the same. And I'm thankful to God, as we say thankful to Allah,
yes.
Muslims say thankful to Allah, that we still have conscious people
That's right.
on this earth who will not give in to the pressure to go 6 feet under. And there are plenty of pressure out there to go 6 feet under.
Right.
Plenty of it. Not much help to keep your life in a good condition, but a lot of help if you want to destroy your life. you know, I was thinking on the subject of reform, an old song, words from an old song came to my mind. It goes like this. I'm going to change the way I walk. I'm going to change the way I talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I said to myself, whoever wrote that song, it put something together. Because walking and talking are developments that come almost at the same time in the life of human beings, walking and talking. Usually the child that's walking can talk a little bit too. And if he's talking, usually he's walking too. So walking and talking like twins, you know, in the developmental progress of human life. They come around the same time, walking and talking. And this world, with its bad influences, when I say this world, I mean the corrupt world, the unconscious world, or I should say maybe the satanic world, that not out to help human life, but out just to exploit human life, to profit, to make money at the risk of human life. That world reaches us with its influences, and it changes the way we think. First, it changes the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel.
That's right.
Because if the way you think changes, then you're open to feel differently too.
That's right.
So it changes first the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel. Then it changes the way we behave.
Yes.
And when the thinking changes, it's expressed in the language. The talk changes. And you know, this, I don't know how this world managed to be so quick. I know I read in the Bible that says one beast has eyes all over him. And I took that to mean spies. That bad society beast has spies everywhere.
Yeah.
And mix among them and let me know what's happening, what the mood changes are.
Yeah.
Let me know what the trends are or what you see developing. So they'll find a youngster. They'll find a youngster walking down the street, and he has went off from the norm. He's left the old behavior, and he's indicating that he got another spirit in him and a different behavior.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be wearing his clothes hanging off his butt. And he'd say, okay, there are a lot of them out there like him, or they're ready to be like him. Let's put him on TV.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
And we're gonna sell a lot of baggy clothes hanging off the butt.
That's right. That's it.
Now, why am I saying this to you out there? Because I believe there's some good conscious ones out there that's going around with your clothes hanging off your butt.
That's right.
That tells the world that cares nothing about human life, cares more about money than anything. That tells that commercial mind in the world that you are one of them, or you are one of their customers, potential, or buying already. So let us be conscious and let us fight the world that takes us down and support the world that lifts life up. That's what we have to do. And this is an effort to reform the way you think. And as I said, if we can reform the way you think, I should say we think, we can reform the way we behave.
That's right.
Because your thinking, your behavior doesn't change until your thinking changes.
All right.
I'm sure you recall being at home with your parents and some child, member of the family, sometimes a distant one, a close one, or an outsider may be in the house. Because our parents, some of them, they don't care who's in the house. If you behave in an unconscious way, if you display ignorance and vulgar behavior,
mm-hmm.
They'll correct you. They don't care who you are.
That's right.
They say, hey, this is my house.
That's right.
And they're correct. So they would see someone behaving that way, and they would say, what's gotten into your mind? Isn't that what they were saying?
Yes, sir.
What's gotten into your mind?
Right.
Now, they weren't no psychologists. But they knew, common sense told them, if you're behaving differently, something has gotten into your mind. So a lot of us, we think, oh, I know they're bad, but you got to love them. Love them. Come on, honey. I love you anyway, honey. Come on, give me a hug. You should be giving the right cross. Right cross. Muhammad Ali or whoever the popular fighter is now. Right cross. Knock them flat on their back. And that'll be love. But saying, come and give me a hug. That's saying, I like you just as you are. You don't have to change for me. You ain't bothering me with your bad behavior. I like you just as you are. No, we don't. That's not like, that's not love. That's abuse. You're abusing them with that kind of treatment. Yes. And, you know, if you're conscious, you benefit from everything good. And when you're unconscious, morally, spiritually, when you're unconscious, you are susceptible, you are vulnerable, you're open to everything bad. You lose everything. So we are a people who value human life. Your bad behavior hurts our feelings. The way you treat yourselves pains us right in our hearts. But we are not going to go to the grave with you.
There it is. Right.
We're going to work with the best of us.
All right, brother.
And hope that one day our influence in our areas where we live, in our neighborhoods, will be bigger than the influence of those who don't care about anything but money.
Right. Right.
Or will push everything, every other important issue off the desk if it hurts their money. They just want to keep the money coming, big. And they are responsible for all the misery we are seeing now. Not only in the streets, but in our homes. They are responsible. This much damage could not be done to us if it was not for television. Television now brings what's happening from all over the world right into your living room. And you can't be there all the time. You don't know what your children are watching and what they're not watching. So you got corruption having free access, free entry. And that's bad. And what are you going to do? You can't go crazy. I know I won't. I insist upon being sane and reasonable. You can't go crazy and say, hey, I'll beat you to death if you keep watching that. No, you can't do that. So they insist that they're going to watch that stuff, and they're teenagers, they're going to school. You can't beat them to death. You can just keep talking to them and try to reason with them. That's all you can do. And some of us, we do that, and we lose them. They go out of our house. Pretty soon they don't want to stay with us because we irritate them.
Yeah, that's right.
So they want to stay with somebody else. So they leave us and go stay with somebody else.
Right.
And pretty soon we find out that they have left the life, the good life.
Right.
And they have joined those who waste life,
right.
Destroy life. But we only can do our best and have faith that eventually good wins out. Eventually, God takes over.
Yes.
We can only go so far with Satan. And after a while, God will say, I will take charge of this matter. And then God brings his judgment. And the whole world begins to change.
There it is.
People on high that tolerated their abuse of freedom freedom to make money at any cost, freedom to take over the culture and make it nothing but a culture for dollars, a culture to produce dollars. Yes? That's almost what our culture is now, in the streets
right.
and on television. It's a culture to produce dollars.
Right.
But there come a time eventually that the high-ups in government, the high-ups in church, in church life, and for us, religion, or Muslim life, the high-ups get fed up too. God put in them the spirit. Say, hey, this has gone too far.
That's right. All right, bro.
It has to be checked.
Yes. Right.
So high up in religion, in Christianity, I mean world Christianity, Christianity not just here in America, Christianity in Europe, Christianity everywhere, the high ups, they meet and they say, hey, something got to be done about this. It's got to be checked. It's gone too far. And they express themselves and high ups in government hear of their concern. And those that have the same fear and the same concern in high places in government, they meet with those of the religious establishment.
Right. Yes,
right. Now, I'm talking as though this is something that could happen.
Yes, come on.
Or something that has happened.
Yes.
But really, what I'm viewing in my mind right now is what's happening at this particular time. So don't think that everything is lost. No. We have people in high government positions and people in high religious positions, church positions, mosque positions, synagogue positions. We have people in high places with influence and with money.
That's right.
And power.
Yes.
We have people who have looked at this ugly scene, this ugly life scene, and the public just going to the graveyard.
Yes. Right.
And they've said, let them go on their own. But we have to stop those who are profiting on their bad behavior.
That's right. That's right.
So privileges that have been given, immoral money makers, is being taken away from them.
Right.
And it won't be long. I think you can see the sign of it in the movie theaters now. You're getting movies that's coming out that's addressing moral issues.
Yes. Yes.
More movies are coming out now that address moral issues. More movies that are coming out now that address the forces of good and evil.
Yes.
How they are in conflict and in battle with each other.
Yes.
More movies are coming out that tells us that the influence of those persons or people in high places are reaching even the industry, the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it much or hear it much in the record business, the recording industry for records and songs and stuff like that, music. We don't see it much, but it's there. It's coming. It's growing there too. And pretty soon, the rapper, don't you know we have good rappers? They're good rappers. There are plenty of good rappers. But you don't see that, they didn't see them in that period. They're still on us, but it's going away. It's a thing of the past.
Right.
That spirit when the vulgar guy is welcome.
Right.
The nasty mouth guy is welcome.
Right. Right.
And the clean mouth guy, we don't want you.
Right.
There's nothing for you to do.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back and get it together again?
Right.
You know? Right. Nothing for him. And he really got was help. He got medicine and healing and sweet stuff and good stuff.
Yes.
And the other guy got poison.
Yes.
That's all he got, poison. Drugs. in the form of music and song. That's what he got. The time is changing. It's time for reform. Now, you who are Muslims in the audience, and remember the days of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and there are many of you who never became Muslims, but you appreciated the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work for the black people.
Yes. Right.
Or for the African Americans. Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if I would describe him in just one statement, I would say he was a man who wanted to dignify the life of his people. And that kind of work, when you look at the whole life and you want to make it more respectful, more respectable, and more respectful, you are looking at it with the eyes of a reformer. You want to reform the life. You remember Carter G. Woodson?
Yes, sir.
We celebrate him every February, Black History Month.
That's right.
He wrote a book challenging us to take on the responsibility ourselves for educating our children.
Right.
And he said, if he took the position that the way we were being educated by the public system was really miseducation. Miseducation. And he was correct. It has changed a lot since his time. A lot. In fact, it's completely new scene. It's not the same scene that Carter G. Woodson was looking at. But it still has a long ways to go yet. It still needs more reforming. And I'm not saying this. It's the educators and the conscious teachers and also higher education and the institutions of higher education. They are saying it also, that we have to reform our system of education.
Right.
The textbooks,
right.
They still need more correction and more corrections and our reforming. We need to form the way they are composed or the way the writers perceive knowledge and education.
Mm-hmm.
So the time is here and it's going to bring about a good change for the better.
Yes.
And I'm optimistic. I see a good future coming. I think the sickness has reached its course.
Okay.
And a healing time is here. Yes, the healing time is here, and life is going to be beautiful. Also, I want to say to the young people here in the audience that we have to reform the way we see old people.
Yes.
You know, human progress on this earth has been made more and better because the old folks deposited what they had of value from their learning and experiences into the ears and heads of the young. And during that period of time, behind us, a long ways behind us, some of us still do it, but very few. During that period of time, youngsters didn't look at old people and say, oh, I have nothing to do with them, and they have nothing to do with me. No. They felt a strong bond. Child and adult. A strong bond. They felt a dependency. And even the rebellious ones, those that were of bad behavior, they had some respect for elders, some respect for senior citizens, some respect for old folks. But all of that was destroyed too with this new popular culture that took over. Yes, all that was lost. Also, adults, you have to reform the way you see the young people. I hear them saying, oh, well, you know, they're just young. And they don't add, they don't know. You stop doing that. But I remember the time when you said, oh, they're just young, they don't know. They have learned so much, you don't say they don't know anymore. Oh, you know, they know more than every one of us, that's for sure. Especially about this world and life out there. Yes. But we have to change the way we look. We have to change and reform. Change, reform, same. We have to reform the way we look at the youngsters. We shouldn't look at them and say, oh, they're young, and they're just caught up in that young life, and I hope they survive it, you know. You can't look at them like that. You got to look at them and say, if all of them go bad, we all are going to become extinct.
That's it. All right.
Because our future is in our children. And the good life and good spirit that God put in human life, human nature, had us wanting to deposit the best of ourselves as we see ourselves getting more and more away from the energetic life, getting near to retirement. An urge came over us to share with our children, with the young, what we got, so that they will have more to work with for their future. So we have to start looking at them like that again. We have to look at our children, our grandchildren. The Imam Daniel Kareem, Rafa, I'm sorry, he mentioned that I'm a grandfather. Rafa, I'm a great-grandfather. I got great-grandchildren. Yeah. And you see how it's supposed to go, Rafa? See, you have a father, then you have a grandfather. And then you have great-grandfather.
That's right.
See, it's supposed to get improved. Huh?
Yes, sir.
as the family line grows, you're supposed to be achieving more.
Yes,
so now he produced me. He's a father.
Right.
Now he produced me, and I produced a child from him,
yes.
from his line.
That's right.
Now he's a grandfather.
Yeah.
Grand.
Yeah.
They try to make me feel uncomfortable. Say, hey, are you his grandfather? Talking about my young son. He's my son. Are you you're his grandfather, aren't you? I say, yes, I'm his grandfather, and he's my grandson. Now, it's something when you become a great granddaddy. Not only grand, you're great. So, appreciating life, that's where it all starts. Man, when God made him on this earth, he thought about himself and he thought about the world all about him, and he realized that there was more in the world than he could possibly use. There was just too much out there for him. He didn't have an appetite to use everything out there. So it made him wonder, why have I been put in a world like this to think and understand and be free to benefit from all of this beauty and all of this wealth and goods that's out here? And he started to reflect, and he came up with the idea that couldn't have happened unless somebody was over it and cared about life.
Yes.
God. God. And we know that the ancients and those of medieval times and those around us here right now, those conscious people and teachers in religion, they say the first bond you should have is with God. And they say never break that bond. Form a tie, a relationship with God. And never break it. That's the key to survival and good life on this planet Earth. So they told us that. And some of us, we don't want to hear anything. I was speaking once, and a young lady, she's not young anymore, but she was young then. She said, "Will you stop talking? I don't want to think. I don't want to."
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Narrative Aspirations. I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, and we hope that you gained some insightful message from Imam Dr. Warathin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayh. And we are going to give you an opportunity to bring in our special guest. His name is Imam Shahid Abdullah, and he will be joining us in just a few short minutes. We are going to be having an event here in the Queen City of Charlotte, North Carolina, August 11th through the 14th, inshallah. And we are welcoming you to join us. You go to the Knowledge Collection on Eventbrite. Again, it is the Knowledge Collection on Eventbrite, and we ask that you do that tonight. Without further ado, I'm going to ask that you hold on just a second, and we're going to bring in our special guest, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Narrative Aspirations, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Okay, so if you would go ahead and hang up on the other line, we'll just wait for that echo to end, and then we can begin. One of our faithful listeners, he was listening in to Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Alaleh and getting fired up for this event that we will be having, inshallah, August the 11th and through the 14th of 2023. Imam Shahid Abdullah, when he joins us again, we will be ready to share the events of the weekend, beginning with Jumu'ah prayer. Inshallah, he will be our khatib. And then we will move forward from there. All right, so we are back with Imam Shahid Abdullah. Imam Shahid Abdullah? Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us back again for another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and with an additional hour to celebrate our movers and shakers in our community who use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. We would like for you to give yourself a brief introduction, and then we're going to ask some questions about the upcoming event. So go ahead at this time, please, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Imam Shahid Abdullah, can you hear me?
Your mic is open, so go ahead and you can speak at this time. You are mute. We cannot hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil alamin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Audience, with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, I seek refuge in Allah from the rejected enemy of Shaitan. And I greet you all in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And every time we get the opportunity to talk with you, I consider it a great pleasure, an opportunity. A pleasure because it's a good feeling that I get when I speak with African-Americans, and especially the African-American who are Muslim and those who came through pretty much the same experience that I came through. So we have a pretty close idea about how we are thinking. So I get pleasure in talking with us and listening to some comments and questions coming back from you. The pleasure is tremendous. And the opportunity, of course, is to share with you the things that Allah has blessed me to come into contact with and blessed me to understand and grasp, as many of you have, Imam Muhammad's teaching and enlightenment to us and the world. And that is showing up big time now in this world, in this day and time, because we have to, as the young birds learn very early in life, when they are being nurtured by their parent in the top of a tree, and they are being fed by the birds, going out and getting food and coming back, giving it to them until they get strong. And when the mother bird or the father bird realize they all have this time that Allah has kept in the creation. He has a time in all of the creation. It comes a time when they say to the little chick or the bird, the baby bird, it's time to go. And what that means is that they have to get out the nest and make it on their own. Now, it's not a matter of do they have a choice. It's a matter of it's a must, because the parent bird pushes them out the nest. So we're at that point in life, too. We're at that point in life that whether we understood what Imam Muhammad was talking about, or whether we understood what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about, or whether we understood what Master Farrar was talking about, whether we understood that or not, we are on our own. We are on our own to exercise the principles and comprehension of what they gave us. Now, if we still think we are back in that time, in that zone, you hear some of the people in the background when Imam Muhammad is talking, say, that's right, that's right. Okay, we still in that's right mentality. Then we're not on our own. We're still in the nest. And fortunately for the young chick in the nest, the mother bird pushes them out, forces them to fly for themselves, forces them to fend for themselves. This is the way life is. As Imam Muhammad said, if we do not get our young people moving in a direction and of progress, then we can become extinct. That's a reality. We can become extinct. And if we don't see that, that means we have not comprehended what Imam Muhammad brought and taught, or what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, or what even Master Farrar taught. I mean, we have not comprehended the teachers who came before us. If we, and I do believe there are many of you who think the same as I, if we see this as the opportunity for this generation to spring forth and begin to fly on its own ability and power, we must think for ourselves. When Imam Muhammad talk about reforming our mind, he's not reforming our mind. He's giving us the nourishment that a hen gives to her chicks. But the chick still has to grow up, the growth and development of that nourishment they receive. That's what we have to do. He mentioned changing of the mind, changing our form of thinking. How far along have we come on that? That's a thing we must realize too. How far have we come after experiencing that which Imam Muhammad had to give us, on which we could string out into the world on our own, thinking for ourselves, picking a way to grow and develop intellectually, spiritually, and economically. Not just as Muslims, because we are reminded that Allah says that we all are Muslim. We all are Muslim, that all the creation is Muslim. And what we do as a conscious being, we become conscious Muslim. We believe that the way of life that defined in the Quran is the best way of life for us and the rest of humanity. Sometimes we get lost in that. Sometimes we think that is enough. That's not enough. Because remember, during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were believers who didn't want to fight. Even Prophet Muhammad wasn't that keen on fighting. But Allah says, you may dislike a thing that is good for you. That exists today. The fact of the matter is the world can change, but we are the element. We are the instrument of change. And if we don't change the way we are thinking, then the world can't change as we continue to say we remake the world. Only happen if we reform our thinking. And when I say we, I'm talking about this very small group of African Americans who accepted Islam and became Muslim. That's a very small group, a very small minority of the African American people. There are 42 million African American people in America. Now, how many of them are Muslim? Maybe a million? Maybe two. Still a small group. And of that million or two, how many of them are conscious, mentally conscious, of this reforming of the mind, reforming of the thinking? It's a time that we must wake up, those of us who have not yet come woke. We must wake up to the reality of what we must do. This is not a world for spirits. This is a world for the people who understand spirituality has its place. But the building of a world is about the physicality, about the physical development of the human being. Digging in the earth, bringing into new existence of science, medicine, all those are physical characteristics that Allah had created man for. He didn't create man to sit on the dock of the bay. He created man to build docks and build ships to sail in and out of docks. And he called this man that he created to go in and out of the earth and bring out concepts and ideas that he can think about and imagine into a reality. He called that man the Khalifa. And as many of us use that term and still think that we are spiritual. Spiritual is one aspect of a human being. The greater aspect is physical. The greater aspect of the human being is the physical, is to be able to interpret the creation, learn from the creation, and build on the creation. Get the knowledge from the creation and grow our minds so our minds can become more productive. This is not just a message for the young. This is a message for all. Because you reach the age of 60, who told you that was retirement time? Who told you 65 was retirement time? Who told you 85 was retirement time? Who told you that? When Allah says when he's ready for you, he will call you back. You don't have to look to retire. When Allah's ready for you, he calls you back, whether you want to come or not. If you're 3 years old, if you're 5 years old, if you're 10 years old, or 20, or maybe even 100, Allah calls you when he wants you back. So for those of us who have come through the experience of the Nation of Islam, Imam Wafdi Muhammad, we need to put on what was expressed to us by those past leaders, not just Imam Muhammad, but including Imam Muhammad and others, Booker T. Washington, all of these great minds that came before us. We need to begin to express that in the physicality, in the physical world, not just in words, not just in telling people how we feel. We feel like this and we feel like that. No, in the terms of building. People are building all around us. The Spanish-speaking people are building. The European-Americans are building. Populations come into this world and they are building. We must begin to do that. And they do it collectively. And you know why they do it collectively? Certainly there's some individuals who work on their own. That's not the point here, because individuals can make it anywhere. A person who got an individual conscience, he can work in any civilization, almost in any culture, and learn the things that go on there and adapt them and be successful when he got a strong individual understanding of life. But generally speaking, it takes a process that's called socialization. And that process of socialization teaches us how to develop a positive self-image of ourselves so we can become producers. And if that process of socialization has been tampered with, then everyone who comes through that process is going to be off. It's going to be children not knowing whether they're male or female. It's going to be children coming there thinking it's better to sell drugs than to try to make a great individual out of themselves by gaining a powerful education and building their knowledge so they be a useful human being. That process of socialization is the process that Quran calls, the Bible calls, the Satan, Shaitan. It's in the education of the human being that Shaitan exists most. And that's education of religion, education of the proper way of life, and especially socialization process that teaches people how to respond to one another, how to behave. And we have been going through a process of socialization that was created by schemes and conspiracies that started long before we were born, long before the African-American was in the shape we're in today, in colonial times. Do you really think that the ideas and concepts that were developed in the colonial times died when the colonies or the colonial or the conspirator of that time died? Do you think when the physical person died, that ideas wasn't planted in the minds and the behavior of the human beings of alive, kept going through generation after generation? How do you think racism got here? Racism didn't have to be reborn. Racism was a concept that was put into colonial America to divide the European American from the African, from the Native American, so that they will not be rebellious. They would not be able to unite with one another to rebel against the colonial rule. And they told the European colonial people that if they would adopt the term of white, they become a people that have special privileges over and above the African, over and above the Native American. These are the facts that exist. They're in the book, in colonial laws. Colonial laws, they're in the book, and they brought those colonial laws into the Constitution of the United States 100 years after they started them in the colonial times. Even though the Constitution did not have the right to bring in the concepts and ideas that said only white men with land age 21 could vote for the national elections. They did not have that right because the Declaration of Independence came 10 years before that, and in the Declaration of Independence, it was stated. It said that all men are created equal with unalienable rights for the life by their creator, for the life, but life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That came before the Constitution. In that was the equality of the human being to grow in the way that their Lord had created them. But that period of time, between 8 and 10 years, the schemers begin to change the language. They didn't do it without a fight, though. There were people during that time, all their own slaves. They gave up their right to own slaves. You had Jefferson. Jefferson was the writer of the Declaration of Independence. They gave that up because they didn't want to see slavery to continue into the future. They felt as though slavery was not compatible with the beautiful presentation of the Declaration of Independence. It's not compatible. You can look at it yourself. You can say, what is slavery? What is the Declaration of Independence? You will see that there's all this kind of disparity there between slavery of any people and being under the Declaration of Independence. So what some of them did is come up with a scheme. They based it on a scheme that was started, they taught that there was a people called white people. They based it on that scheme, on that conspiracy. Then they put it into the Constitution, and they wrote the Constitution some 6 to 10 years after the Declaration of Independence, and they did it behind closed doors. And that's why many of the colonial leaders did not sign the Constitution. Jefferson didn't sign it. Madison didn't sign it. And they said they would not sign it because they would not sign up any bill that did not have a Bill of Rights within it. They were trying to avoid this, what we are living in today. They were trying to avoid it. They were trying to avoid the same situation we got today with the killing of Africans by European people for no reason other than their own satisfaction. They wanted to avoid this day. They wanted to avoid this day that was going on in Florida right now, that don't want to allow equal education, that the cultural existence of the African-American people should not be respected. They were trying to avoid what you're going in this very day. They were trying to avoid it. That's why they did not vote for the Constitution. But they were outnumbered by the degree of the predatorial mind that existed in many of the colonies and the colonists of the time. And they put it in there that Africans could not vote. And that lasted for hundreds of years. We just got to the point where some states allowed African Americans to vote in the national elections. And still some of those states have written in their constitution, state constitution, that it has the right to deny that right for the Africans to vote. It's in an amendment. And they have a right to vote on that amendment every 14 years or so. Now, how could that be a people who saw the power and beauty of the Declaration of Independence and say they are with the founding fathers who brought the Declaration of Independence to life? They are not. They don't argue that point. They are not. They're just not going to look into the African-American face and say, you are the same as I am. You are not the same as I am. And that doesn't mean they're saying you're not a human being and I'm a human being. No, that's more than that. You see, because they will say we are European or German-American or Irish-American and we belong to humanity.
Alhamdulillah, we're going to stop right there, inshallah, and take a short station break. Thank you so much for giving us that excellent information and factual data. We'll be right back, inshallah, after this station break.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Sabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community Wise Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time 450 years beyond the time of enslavement here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021.
And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, thank you for that excellent, excellent PSA. And we are just coming off of Juneteenth,
2023. So we thank Allah to be here. We thank him for his guidance and his aspirations to make this world a better place for all people, individually and collectively. Tonight we are talking with our special guest, Imam Shahid Abdullah, who has been giving us some background information and also some factual information that inspired him to create the knowledge collection. And so we're going to go ahead and ask him if he could tell us what the knowledge collection is and what the event is about that's coming up. We're going to break it down for you by day. But first we're going to ask him what the knowledge collection is and explain each book and how we can get that, and then we're going to talk about the event. So, Imam Shahid Abdullah, please tell us about your knowledge collection.
Basically, thank you very much, Sister Kalita. I'm used to explaining the knowledge collection and the event as an explanation, because this is just not a what you would call a joy event, just something we were having just for the pleasure. It's coming for a reason. We're doing it for a reason, and that reason has come at the out of the research we have done over the years, learning more about the very issue that I had spoke about in the first part of the talk. So it's important for us to know that that what you get with the knowledge collection, you get books and that we have developed over the years that tell us pretty much what is going on in the world today and how we can improve the condition and how we can change our thinking, our thought. As Imam Muhammad said, we have to reform our thinking. And see, we hear those words, but we're not doing enough to bring those words into fruition. And so we have the problems we have. So the knowledge collection is designed to free the mind of the schemes and the schemes and the conspiracies of the past, because they're not going anywhere. That's not, most of us don't understand what history is. We think history is something in the past, but history happened in the past, but it's the way you think today. The way you think today is because of what happened in the past. It formed our mentality, and our mentality is formed in a servitude position, especially African-American people. We're formed in that mentality, and we almost can't do almost anything without saying, well, not, did the white man say we can do that? Or is the white man in on that? Or who did you get this from? See, we don't trust that we have enough knowledge within ourselves to move out and develop on our own. So this whole knowledge collection is to free the mind. It's to free the mind from the entrapments of the past. And if we don't recognize the entrapments of the past, that means we are trapped in them and we can't get out of them, no matter how rich we are, or no matter how intelligent we think we are. If we are not aware of what happened in the past, we are not aware on the entrapments of the past. As Carter G. Wilson said, if a person doesn't know the biology and the cultural development, they have lost the inspiration. Lost the inspiration that can move them forward. See, so it's very important. And it's not something, this black history thing is not black history. That's something the European American created to keep us entertained like a pacifier for a baby. This is not about black history. This is about our thinking process and how our thinking process should benefit us and those around us. And just like the Juneteenth, for example, I asked a question at the Juneteenth that I asked you tonight. I asked you a question about Juneteenth. And then I would like to say a few words about it. The question is, what language is that word Juneteenth? What language is it? It's certainly not English, because they didn't have that word in English, Juneteenth. They don't tell you what language it is, because they don't want you to know what language it is. In your own common sense, looking at the word, no, it's not an English word. Sure, there's English characters. But there's no such word as that defining a time on the calendar. There's no such word like that. It's June 19th. June 19th is what is on the calendar, not Juneteenth. Juneteenth, they put it on there. The European did it and made it nationally known for not a good reason, because they wanted to encourage African Americans to think that our people were ignorant, that our people couldn't talk, that our people couldn't speak well. So instead of saying June 19th, they said Juneteenth. That's a negative. That's not a positive. When the reality is, the people of that time had begun speaking their own language over 100 years before that a proclamation was ever issued by President Lincoln. 100 years we were speaking the language, a different language. Down in South Carolina and Georgia, they spoke the language. They took the name of a river and went from Georgia, northern Georgia, all the way down to southern Georgia, called Ogeechee River. They named the language, and they named themselves Geechee, because they wanted to speak a language that they could understand and the European and owners could not understand, so they could talk openly. And if they talked openly, they wouldn't be caught or wouldn't be found out. Just like the old song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Coming to Carry Me Home. Everybody today know that was code language by the African Americans saying, talking to Harriet Tubman, come down here, Harriet Tubman, get me out of this hell and help me get out of this hell. Well, most of us know that's code language today, but we don't know much about Geechee, because the European American put it in the Library of Congress that Gullah Geechee is a language. It's not a slang of English. It's not a Caribbean thought. It's not Creole. Creole is French anyhow. But Geechee is the language we invented. The same as the Jew invented Yiddish. The Jews in America speak two indigenous languages, Yiddish and Hebrew. And they also speak the language of whatever country they lived in. Yiddish is a language they invented in Germany. They took the German language and brought Hebrew into it, and some Aramaic, and some other languages, and formed their own language. That's the same thing our people did. But the Jews' language is respected. The European Americans respect the Jews' language. But they don't respect the Africans' language, because they don't want the African to believe that we have a culture. Because when you have a culture, when you have a language, you have a culture. That's the foundation of a culture. So they don't tell us those important things about that word Juneteenth, that came from our language. And it wasn't the end of slavery, because slavery was ended in a Revolutionary War. Most of the states north of the Dixie, they ended slavery during the Revolutionary War. There was no slavery in those states. They had this, all the colonies had slavery about the same time. But in the Revolutionary War, the northern states and colonies, they abolished slavery because it wasn't in coherence with the Declaration of Independence. That no man could own another man. No man could write a contract that says he owned another man. That's not in keeping with the Declaration of Independence. So they abolished it.
And you are absolutely right. If you could just, that is so phenomenal. If you could just give us a brief snippet of each of your books and what they mean to you and how we can access them.
Well, the question you're asking is that, it's what I'm talking about. But this is the kind of things that are in the books.
Want them to purchase them from the different websites so they can read them, inshallah. Mm-hmm.
It's very important to understand or to even hear what is being looked at. The knowledge collection itself, it consists of the four books that I've written, Success is Automatic, The River of Gold, Community is Born, and Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American People. And I'm including in that a book that was written in 1932 that's been taken off of the market, but we were able to get hold of it. Now we produce it, and it's called The Negro Market. And you will see for yourself, see with your own eyes what I'm talking about now, that the African-American people during that time had a culture, and they had it built up. And they did it because they were coherence, the coherence they had with each other through their language. That you might even hear your grandparents, and I mentioned this several times now, because I know it was in my parents and maybe in yours too. You hear people use the word fitna. Fitna is a word where you're fitting to get in trouble. Well, I'm fitting to do this or I'm fitting to do that. That word comes from Geechee. It's a Geechee word, and they got it from the Quran, because 15% to 30% of the Africans during that time were Muslim, and they mixed that in with the language. So that's, and there's many, many other examples of this language and the culture. And if you don't have a strong connect with your culture, still building a house on a weak foundation. And the Quran says a house that's built on a weak foundation will fall. And it's talking about the culture. Any people that don't have a strong concept of their own culture, there's no way they can last, because they're easily changed, easily directed different ways. And one of those things that so easily happened, I don't know if many of you know this, that this government has convinced the people, is still trying to convince them, all of the European Americans haven't went for it, but mostly all African Americans are seeming to go for it. They are teaching sex education in the schools, as if the mothers and fathers don't know enough about sex to teach their own children. Who is the first one to touch the child? It's the mother and father, primarily the mother. She should be the instructor of what the child's genitals are. She should instruct them on that and what they're used for. The father and the mother should instruct them. But they say that the father and mothers don't have enough sense. So they have to take that responsibility out of the hands of the father and mother and put it in the school system, and they have it in elementary schools. They show films and videos of all kinds of sexual things. You think the children are learning about homosexuality just in the street? No. They're learning it in the school system, because they're trying to say they're all forms of sex. There are different kinds of forms of sex. So this is a homosexual group. This is a heterosexual group. They are using those techniques to deaden the consciousness of the public. And if we don't have a strong foundation of our own culture, we'll fall for anything. Like the old saying going, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And this is what's so important about the knowledge collection. It's a strong foundation, a strong foundation of the culture of the African-American people. Why we are called African, why our foreparents did that, why our foreparents became so dedicated to growth and development that they were outgrowing every other race and group in America, way bigger and more powerful than the Chinatown, Little Italy, and places like that. These are all facts, and it's recorded facts. But they don't tell us these things because it would make us be more positive about ourselves, and we'd be more apt to change. These young people who are out, they say, out selling drugs or whatever they're doing, they'd be more apt to change if they knew that their forefathers were great, great producers, great scientists. I'm not just talking about that little history they give us, they call black history. They run it down our throat that some black man invented the light been at the stoplights or some another black woman did this, and that's falseism. They take a true fact and put it in a pool that's so muddy you can't even get the power of inspiration out of it unless you're really dedicated. If you really dedicate it, it will inspire you somewhat. But the culture is supposed to inspire you daily, routinely. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, the culture is supposed to be there.
Alhamdulillah.
And this is why this is so important, this knowledge collection. In fact, the name of the event is my book I'm working on now. And the name of the event is Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. All what we were talking about, that's what mental freedom would do. Mental freedom helps the people to do what the Imam Muhammad was talking about, to reform their thinking, to reform themselves.
So can you give us the title of your books? Because we want to get a little bit of time for our listening audience to ask questions and also...
Well, okay, you know, basically, I've covered most of the area of the books and the whole talk. And that's what the book's about.
The title, now, the specific title.
The specific...
And how we can get them, please.
The specific titles I gave was... First one was Success is Automatic. The second book is The River of Gold. And the third book is the Spirit of Bilal, Community is Born, Calling the World of Human Excellence. And the fourth book is Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Community. And you get them all on Amazon. And you can, or you contact me directly at, my phone number is 908-296. 2558, or you can email me at Shahid, Shahid, underscore, Abdullah, 2000, at yahoo.com. Or you can contact Sister Khalila, and she will get that information to us, and you will be able to get
okay, alhamdulillah. So, listening audience, if you have a question or comment, press 1 to come into the queue. If you have a question or comment, press 1 to come into the queue. We are going to be highlighting this event, and we want you to participate for your own, the benefit of your own nafs, the evolution of your own culture for yourself and your family for generations to come. And so with that said, we're going to go ahead and go over Friday evening. Ma'am Shahid Abdullah, I'm actually going to... go over the flyer. And then we can go from there.
Are there any questions or comments?
I don't have any questions at all for you, and I don't see anybody. I do have a question right here. Someone has a question. We're going to go to 914-434. Welcome. The Narrative Aspirations. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam. Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif called Mount Vernon, New York.
Alhamdulillah.
Khalila.
Ma'am
Shahid.
Yes.
Yeah, you
welcome.
Were speaking about.
Thank
you. Yeah, you're welcome. Now, concerning schools, you know, the Imam told that education is our number one priority. Now, we all know that.
Right.
And we're not getting anyone talking about, or very few talking about our education system.
Right.
Now, it's just an understanding that if I was your enemy or was the enemy and you don't have an education system, then I'm going to educate your children. I'm going to miseducate your children. And we have, we don't have even, if people don't even seem that they're even concerned about us not having in the schools. We got about a handful of schools, and we don't hear no complaints coming from the fathers, the mothers, the uncle, grandparents, nobody saying, I'm not going to send my, just like Sister Claire Muhammad, not going to send our children to your schools. We don't hear anyone mm-hmm. taking that position that she took. Look like we're just happy and satisfied. A mother give birth to a child 3 or 4 years old. She go to work or wherever and send her baby, a Muslim child, to a non-Islamic school and don't give it a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Just drop that child off for 10 hours or whatever and don't even get another thought and take right back the next day, knowing that they're
mm-hmm.
in a school that's not going to produce them. They're not going to be able to keep that Muslim character. And the leaders,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying leaders, and the leaders not even saying anything. We only got a handful of schools. And what about all these programs that we got, EM360, Lifeline, all these other programs we got, and we don't hear the leaders or the parents, nobody complaining about not having a school system. So don't you think the enemy
mm-hmm.
doing the right thing should do? They don't have a school system, just say we're going to mess the children up.
And I exactly agree. They will indoctrinate our children with what they want them to learn so they can continue to be in the leadership positions that they are. And so thank you so much for your comment, that very thought-provoking and very relevant comment to education. We do need to be more assertive around education. It's a complacency. It's, I don't know if it's just an absence of knowledge, as Imam Shahid Abdullah is saying. But most of us, many people that we know are educated. We know what is wrong, but we just have to find a solution to fix it. And
well,
outside of talking. Yes, go ahead.
Well, the main
thing
is that.
Thank you for my comments. Excellent program.
You're extremely welcome, brother. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time. The main thing is that the adults have to change their mind, their frame of thinking. It's not going to happen any other way. We think it's going to happen different. We think that somebody's going to float down out of the sky and flash a magic wand and everything will be good. No, it's going to happen the same way for us. It happens with all people. Somewhere along the line, the adult generation, that generation thinks it's on its way out the door. 60, 50, and 40, and 80 years old think that they're finished. They're just beginning. Because if they was listening to that tape that you just played with Imam Muhammad, he said on that tape that it's the elderly to give advice to the youth. Now, we're not the advisor. We're going to turn that advisory position over to the system. And the system now is educating them in place of our participation. Then they're going to turn out the way the system wants to turn out to be. We have to learn our own history. The average person that I know, They don't have any idea. This is what prompted me to write these books, because we have to know these things. And you're not going to get it through osmosis. You're not going to get it through, I know that George Washington Carver such and such. I know Booker T. Washington. No, it's not going to. That's not going to do it. It's more than that. We need to know our language. We even know how should know how to speak it. If not be able to speak it fluently, we should at least know that when we say fitna, that's coming from our language. And when we say Juneteenth, we should know that is our language. There's not some way the slaves didn't have good enough sense to say June 19th. Look at that insult. And we take it. We take the insult and preach about it. It's an insult to say our people could not say the June 19th. That's an absolute insult. What they were saying was Juneteenth, which is a Geechee word that they created the language. We need to start getting on board if we want to make some changes. Our people during that time weren't joyous in celebrating the end of slavery. They were celebrating the beginning of progress. That's what they were celebrating. That this European got to thinking that, oh, they were happy ain't slaves no more. That's the dumbest thing a person could say. I mean, how ridiculous could a person say, of course nobody want to be a slave. But it's better than that, which is the real common denominator to all that thing, is that I don't want to be a slave because now I know I can make progress. I knew I could make progress when I was in slavery, but I just didn't have the opportunity. But now I can make some progress. Our people were celebrating progress. The chance to get untampered with progress. And if you read the history books, even the bad ones that the Europeans do, but if you start reading my books, I'll go get the facts and the information, all of them, and bring them to you, you will see that the African-American people made tremendous, massive growth. Where do you think Black Wall Street came from? They talk about Black Wall Street, and they talk about it was bombed in 1921. What was happening in 1920, 1915? 1918, 1910. What were African Americans doing all over America then? They were building this all over America. Our children should know this. Every child growing up, African American, should know this like they know their own names. When they get in the mirror and brush their teeth, they should be able to tell you what the black metropolis was all about in Chicago. They were so strong and so big, they call it a city within a city. That's our responsibility. It's not the public responsibility. It's not the public school's responsibility, because they don't do what they do because they just want to make jobs and keep money flowing in. We have to look what the Jews do with their children. They know that education system is bad, and they send their kids there, but the first chance they get, they start educating their children on weekends. They start weekend schools at the Clara Muhammad School. Educating them on weekends. Then they build a school for themselves. No matter how many public schools going on around, they build their own school. But they don't trust the education system. They know it's poison, but they help poison it. And they want their children to come up thinking with their philosophy, with their ideas, with their concepts. And that's what we should be doing. So I agree with you 100%. We got to start educating our own, and we need to take a look at the Clara Muhammad School. Now, we need to take a look at it and make sure that it is serving the purpose of educating the African-American students. And then it should encourage African-Americans to bring their children there because it's a better education, and tell them why, and show them why, and show them all the statistics and the facts that show how bad the public school system is and how it trains a child's mind into becoming a young criminal. They don't have to go to jail to learn to be a criminal. They do it right there in the school system. We, the adults, must make this move. Okay, I know you worked a long time. You work here. You're ready to retire and all that. I know all that's going on. I am too. But believe you me, when Allah wants you retired, you going back. You ain't going to have to worry about that. But as long as he have us alive, breathing this air, living through this concept, and has given us an experience of the years we've been on the earth watching things go, we can tell good from bad. We can tell up from down. We just have to take the time to start giving it to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Help build the institutions that can teach them. We have to do that. If you still of the mindset of trusting the European American to educate your children after he has indoctrinated himself to think one way and indoctrinated the African Americans who's in their school system, the teachers to think the one way and administrators to think one way, and you see the proof of how they think it. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. You have to believe what Brother Sharif just said. You have to believe any of that. Look at the statistics yourself. Are the African American students better off today than they were 15, 20, 25 years ago? 25 years ago, they were not going through the situation they're going through right now. 50 years ago, this stuff that's going on was never even heard of. African Americans going to their own schools and growing up to be doctors and lawyers. And all those kinds of things, professionals. Look at the situation now. Just in 30 to 60 years, it has almost corrupted the whole financial, the whole base, family base of the African-American people.
Yes, and if I may say, alhamdulillah, if I may say, Imam Shahid Abdullah, I've watched myself in my career as a teacher. When a school gets good and they got a solid African-American male or female principal, especially a male, though, they pull that principal and put him in another area with different demographics and change the whole school. And it's sad. I've seen it more than enough times here in where I'm at, here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I didn't understand, why would you, if it's working, you get a stellar principal, the grades are coming up, the students are doing good, you change the principal, move him to a different part of town, whole different demographic, and bring in someone else. Why?
Right.
And those schools have went sour. We had a couple schools that were top-notch, and they did it.
And the crime is they do it on purpose.
It's really sad.
They do it on purpose. That's the crime. They do it on purpose.
But
let me just mention to your listeners that be sure to try to make it to our program in August, August 11th to August the 13th in Charlotte there at Master Shahid. It's going to be wonderful. And go to on Eventbrite and put in the knowledge collection, and you also could put in inheriting the power of mental freedom, the event. That's what the event is called. And you get all the and if you, we gave the so people were calling today, so we gave them an extension on the early bird special of $115 for that whole weekend. So if you get it between now and next week, you get it for $115 for that whole weekend, food and everything. If you are going to close out, I didn't hear it. Maybe out of time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem.
I'm sorry. Assalamu alaikum. I was talking and you didn't hear me. We do have a few more minutes. We're going to go ahead, inshallah, and give them the website again. So I want them to go with us, those who are actively listening and have that opportunity in front of a – even if you're not registering, I want to walk you through to the website. If you would just go and log in. What is that website, Imam Shahid Abdullah?
It's Eventbrite, and the name of the event is Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. That's the name of the event. Put that in and go straight to the event.
So go to Eventbrite and go to Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom, and the whole weekend come up. We are also using, again, the Holiday Inn here in Charlotte, North Carolina University, inshallah. That information is, again, on that website, and also just go to that website. And if you have any questions or comments, the contact information is on the flyer as well. So we're going to start with Friday, and we are going to tell you exactly what you're going to get, how much it costs, because I know that people need to know that in order to decide if they're going to be able to attend. And they also need to know what they're getting if they want to invest in themselves for that weekend, inshallah.
Well, Friday, of course, that's the beginning, 11th. It starts at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's going to be a morning network. It's going to be a morning network workshop and registration. It's going to be hosted by Brother Rashid Salam, Abdul Salam, and Sister Layla Muhammad. She's going to, the two of them are going to host that particular network. It's bringing everybody in. It's a greet and meet event package that you're going to receive then. It's going to have a weekend itinerary and bio of the participants, cultural information.
Malcolm.
Say again?
Go ahead.
About cultural information. And then after that, we have Juma, which is at 1:30. And after the Juma, it's going to be a light meal and a book signing. I'm going to be signing a book called Spirit of Allow, Community is Born, Calling the World to Human Excellence. That's going to take place after the, during the light meal, really. that evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to start with the evening event. We're going to have the poetry session going to take place at that time too. But then the evening event will, and the poetry is going to be made up of Brother Edward Abdus, Aziz, Sister Khalila, Akwa, and Habibullah Salam. And then that that the evening is the evening theatrical performance of the River of Gold. The participants are going to actually be reading the River of Gold and how the African American people evolved at that time and developed these great rich communities and things of that nature. It's a fascinating book, which is going to show how the African Americans were going from California to Oakland to all the way to the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a beautiful, beautiful presentation. You're going to love it. And then that morning, again, our poetry is going to come again with a breakfast, marvelous poetry and breakfast morning. They call it Saturday Morning Breeze. It's going to be filled with these great artists. You're going to love this very much. And that's going to, again, Brother Edward Abdel Aziz, Sister Khalida, and Habibullah Salam. Salim, really, Habibullah Salim. After that, Sister Khalida is going to give a workshop on education. That's going to be a very, very, very powerful morning you're going to be blessed with. And then, again, you have that afternoon I do a workshop on the strategy of success is the creator's plan for the human being. That's going to be pretty much going over what it takes to be successful. And it's going to be, I'm going to use the book Success is Automatic as proof and evidence of this nature that's in the human being that we have been sort of not completely blocked from, but directed and misdirected. And when our forefathers became free, they built all these great financial districts throughout America, which proved that particular aspect was in their minds and in their hearts, and they exemplified it when they had the opportunity. And then that night is going to be the Jordan Freeman and James Amistad Awards Banquet. That's the two brothers who fought in the Revolutionary War along with 5,000 other African-Americans in getting our freedom from Great Britain. It's going to be a dynamic event, and it's going to be a guest speaker, Dr. Adrian Sabir, which is a great orator and educator. She's one of the jewels of our community who have been around in our community as it began to grow and develop. And she's a very educated person who can express those things so necessary for us to hear and digest and let it become part of our thinking. And then we have a fashion show, which is going to exemplify the fashions that Imam Muhammad had seen some years ago before he passed. And he thought that was what he wanted to build half of his fashion stores with. He had Grace Line that he wanted half of it to be Benalian suits and shirts for men, and then the other be for women. It was that fashion show is going to show you why, and it's going to give you an idea about the line of clothes. And then that next morning, the following morning, which is Sunday morning, going to be a easy Sunday morning breakfast, sitting under the tree with Sister Layla. Of course, that's Layla Muhammad. She's going to be there to give her poetry and do a workshop on her, and she's going to do book signing, and she has some special things for the young children who are going to be there, because they're going to have special invitation for the children in the district that day. And following her presentation, then we're going to close out with a final workshop, which is going to be uncovering the scheme. And that's going to take in much of what we talked about today, and is also going to include much of what I was alluding to about my new, my new book won't be out until February, and I will have some vital information on it. Some of you are going to be very, very, very surprised about some of the information that's found out and what we can do about this situation. So that's going to be then. And all of that cost, the registration fee is $135 for one adult. And for a couple, it's $245. And for a senior and student, it's $125. And if you get the early day special, we just extended that. For some people call in the morning show to try to get it, but it really ended yesterday. But we extended it to the 30th of June, which is the end of next week. A week from tomorrow, a week from Friday. So that may be the first. It'd be the 30th. It's the 30th, I believe. And so you can get your tickets now. Don't wait. Get them now. And you get that early day special price, which is $115 for the early day special. You get that early bird special. You get that $115. You get all the food, all of the workshops, all of the event. You have total access to everything for that early bird special. And if a couple are coming, you can get your ticket early. Your ticket, instead of being $245, if you got two early bird specials, it'd be $230. You save $15. See, so think about it. Make sure to try to make it. We're gonna be there. We got the actors and everything ready for you. We got Sister Isla Aziz, who's Isla May Aziz, who's a director of theater, and she's gonna be the one who directs that the play for the theatrical production. She's the reading, and she's gonna be there. She's putting it together now. I hear them rehearsing, and it's you're going to enjoy this. You're going to enjoy it. And this is the way Africans should get African-American culture, not this so-called Black history. You know what Black history means, right? In closing, I'm just going to say, you know what Black history means? It means black out the real story. They black out the real story and tell you their story.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's what it means. They black out the real story and tell you their story.
Yes, so you're right, and it's unfortunate. The same thing being said over and over again. So inshallah, this would be a springboard for people to self-actualize and move forward, for all of us included. Mm-hmm. Register today at Eventbrite. Go into Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. General registration, $135. Couples, $245. Seniors and students, $125. Includes all meals, workshops, theatrical performance, banquet, fashion show, and public address are included. Okay? All-inclusive early bird special has been extended. Okay? Hotel accommodations provided by the Holiday Inn at 704-547-0999. And mention the Knowledge Collection. All right. And so, again, we thank Imam Shahid Abdullah for all that he does, inspiring everyone to become their personal best. We're going to tell you that on Friday he did leave way for you to come and have a book signing with him. We're going to have a meet and greet the author and a book signing of The Spirit of Bilal for that evening, and then we're going to kick it off with the theatrical reading performance of The River of Gold. And I know he said this, but I'm reiterating it because I want you to make sure that you are aware of the things that you have that you will be offered, okay? Plenty of poetry, plenty of differentiated poetry, too. I'm impressed. I'm a poet, but some of these poets are awesome. And I do, I love poetry, but they talk about real life, and they also talk about everything that you can relate to in conjunction with what he's saying. And it's sort of like you just feel it. Your heart's beating as they're saying it. It's just not poetry, but they're speaking spoken word, but they're speaking it in a way that makes you self-reflect and is very powerful. It's nothing to play with. This is real. It's coming from our pioneers that have been working Sisabita Law for so many years, but they also have interacted with youth. They work in theatrical performances, and they also hear and listen and implement. And you hear that in the poetry. It's powerful. And so you don't want to miss it. Again, we have Sister Layla Muhammad that's going to be joining us, and it's going to be a treat in its own. And I hope and pray that our Sister Claire Muhammad school students are listening in and be prepared to share and sit under the tree, easy like a Sunday morning, with Sister Layla Muhammad and enjoy that. And so with that said, we're going to ask that you close us out with a dua. Inshallah, we'll have Brother Habibullah Saleem, Brother Rashad Abdul Salam, Dr. Adrian Sabir, Edward Abdelaziz, and Sister Islameh Abdulaziz with us, and inshallah, Sister Layla Muhammad that will be joining us for our finale here on American Muslim 360 on Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Would you do the honors of closing us out with a dua, please?
Yes. Rabbana atina bidunya hasanatan wa qina hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, give us the best of this world and of the hereafter, and protect us from the fire. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have any questions or comments, go to info@cwsc.us. Again, info@cwsc.us, and give us any questions or comments that you would like in reference to narrative aspirations and inheriting the power of mental freedom. Inshallah, I hope to see you there. I'm sharpening my skills as well, and we're bringing you the best of what Allah has gifted us with, and we look for you also to be there and share your gifts with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Allahumma sallam.